with regards to the world, what is stated, the praise that has been given in the hadith or the definition in the Quran and the hadith. The dunya, the definition or the description rather, is that the world is a prison. And if you look at the definition or the word prison, the place of difficulties, issues, problems, all of these things you obtain when you are imprisoned. You have the anxiety, you have the problems, and this is the example of the world that has been given to us, that this world is full of problems and difficulties and issues, worries. Insan, the human being, always will be passing through some issue, anxiety, problem, stress. Someone's got issues with the children, somebody's got issues with their business, somebody's got an issue with illness or ill health. Rather, somebody at some stage, always at some point, will have an issue that has come into the life. Now, when this is the condition of this dunya, the world, then insan, how can he pass his life through this world calmly and smoothly? For example, a prisoner who is imprisoned in a cell, can he pass his time smoothly and calmly without anxiety and stress? So this world is the house, the home of problems and difficulties and issues and ill health and diseases and illnesses or problems with children or family or business. So how can one pass his life? Because obviously if I'm defining this as the life, the house of problems, then how do we pass this life in a nice way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has summarized the solution for this in two words. All of the difficulties and problems and worries Allah ta'ala has solved for us and made easy for us. And that cure is what? Qada bil qada. Allah ta'ala says that a person becomes content and happy on taqdeer, Allah ta'ala's predestination, Allah ta'ala's decision for the future. And when you are happy with Allah ta'ala's choice, then life becomes easy for you. And there are two words that Allah ta'ala has given the solution for us in this. That everything that we have, taqdeer, our destiny, our iman believes in this. This is fard, compulsory to believe this, aqeedah. It is fard, compulsory to believe in destiny and predestination. This is fard, compulsory, this is a part of iman. And taqdeer is part of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written with his mashiyat that in this person's destiny is ill health, in this person's destiny is poverty, in this person's destiny are these conditions, or he will pass through these difficult times, or these problems will occur in his life. Allah ta'ala has written, predestined, and this is mashiyat-i ilahi, Allah ta'ala's desire. Allah ta'ala has ordained, Allah ta'ala has planned, Allah ta'ala has selected, Allah ta'ala has defined, Allah ta'ala has laid down in stone. And every mashiyat, every desire of Allah is based on Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. And if we start thinking, why is this person ill? Why is he persecuted or in a possible time? Why is he in prison? Or why is there rain in this place? And why there's no fertility and rain in this place? Why are people in difficult times here? Why has he got good times and money and wealth and I've got nothing? He is rich and wealthy and I haven't got this. And the answer to this is, the first answer is what? Mashiyat-e Allah, Allah Ta'ala has written the destiny for every single individual in the world. And alongside this, Allah Ta'ala's hikmah is attached to Allah Ta'ala's predestination. Allah Ta'ala has sealed this concept. And the third point is that with every hikmah is Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, Allah Ta'ala's mercy. With every wisdom is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. What a great reward Allah Ta'ala is giving. If a person is sick and he is immersed in problems and difficulties, alongside that is Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. And when Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is present, then why are we worried? Why are we going through problems? If a person's poor, alongside that is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Why is he worried? Why? It's been written his mashiyat in his destination, in destiny. But be careful of one thing. That there are the means in the world that Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah has given us tools, the means, du'as, prayers. There are solutions, there are cures, there are remedies. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is our external condition, what our requirements are, what our desires are, what our personal and natural status is. And on every condition, Allah Ta'ala has given us the means, the tools, the remedies that Allah Ta'ala says, utilize the means in the world. You are ill? Utilize the cure. Take the cure, the medicine. All hospitals and clinics and medicines and doctors are means towards a solution. They are tatabir. Allah Ta'ala has given these means to us for our satisfaction, for our calm, for our ease. That you are ill, Allah says, use this means of medicine and technology and cure and medical solutions. But these are asbab. These are the means to what? The result will be what Allah Ta'ala's Mashiyat has desired. Allah Ta'ala is predestined. You are ill, you go to the doctor, to the consultant, to the clinic, to your appointment. But is every man leaving the hospital healthy? Some people pass away in the hospital. Some people get the cure. Some people, the cure is delayed. So what is the solution here? Allah Ta'ala says, despite utilizing and implementing the means and taking the tadbir and utilizing the solutions Allah has given in the world, doing dua, even then you have to do yaqeen and mashiyat-e Allah that Allah Ta'ala has predestined. Allah Ta'ala will decide on the solution and the conclusion. Do you understand this clearly? And by hearing this, your distresses should be far removed from you. We got many problems. You got a problem, a selective problem, specific problem, a worry, an issue. Do dua. Seek the solution, implement the solution physically in the world, but have trust in Allah, in Allah Ta'ala's Mashiyat, because Allah, whatever He's written as the conclusion, that is what will occur, and we should have yaqeen in this. So why are we distressed when issues occur? Now here's the point, that when there are issues, an illness comes, a problem comes, then what is the reason that we are distressed at that time? What is the means for the distress at that time? What is the reason, the root cause? A person is distressed due to problems in the world or difficulties in the world because he desires his solution or her solution. For example, Allah Ta'ala's Mashiyat, in my destiny it has been written that I will live a life of mostly poverty, poor, not much wealth, and I see that this man's in ahead of me, he's in front of me, he's got a nice house, a big car, a big house, and I try and strive so much for my preference to become rich. What will I do? Then I'll try and make efforts beyond my capacity, beyond my means, and beyond correctness, beyond halal and haram boundaries, beyond lawful and unlawful boundaries, that I want to attain this thing, and I will depart the world with this status, and I have to free myself from the world in this way. And then the person deviates and goes on to the wrong path. So what is the situation here? Is that the root cause of difficulty, worries and depressions is that in opposition to Allah Ta'ala's desire, we desire adamantly our desire. And we want that to be the conclusion. And that's why our health goes down, our quality of life goes down. And this is why Allah Ta'ala gives us the biggest cure of all difficulties and problems in the world is the Raza bil Qada. Is that Allah Ta'ala's destiny, Allah Ta'ala has destined for us His decision, we become radha, we become happy and content. When a person is content on what Allah Ta'ala has given, he's mutma'in, he's satisfied, mutma'in, he's happy and content. Allah, you have destined this, you've chosen this, I tried my best and it didn't happen. Alhamdulillah, I'm pleased with what you have chosen and ordained for me, and your choice and selection is the greatest. Then alhamdulillah, all his issues and problems will be annihilated and he will be content. There was an elder in our predecessors, and another point, as I mentioned, there was a pious predecessor of ours, an elder, and he used to live in a city, in an urban location. He was living in the time of poverty. There was poor, bad times had come, difficult times had come. He was starving, hungry, and lots of people were distressed that there's nothing to eat, there's no resources, and the kahat came, you know, the drought. And when the drought came, poverty came, heat, no, you know, nothing. And he came out of his home, and on his face there was no stress, no difficulty, no anxiety. People were saying, we are dying hungry, and we've got bad times, and there's no problem written on your face. They said, Hazrat, you look so content and happy, you don't look distressed, and people haven't eaten for days. Look at our condition, our halat, in our city, in our location. You're not even distressed. He said, I'm not distressed. I've got no problems, no worries. Subhan, they said, why haven't you got worries and problems? They're all shocked that we are in this state and you are different to us. What's the reason that you are not in the same way as us? Why you not have the same emotions as us? You should, why should I be distressed? Why should I be worried? For this reason, that I have placed my desire into the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when there's no control of mine in life, and when I cannot guarantee my desire and my feelings and likes, then my feeling and likes and emotions and desire becomes the feeling and desire and likes and emotion of Allah. And I then think that this hunger is not due to my preference, it's due to Allah Ta'ala's preference. My condition is due to Allah Ta'ala's preference. Whenever a person is immersed in problems, difficulties, then despite starting to shriek out and cry and complain, he should look towards Allah. Allah, radha bil qada. I'm happy in what you have destined. Like this this pious person, what was the difference between the local common people and the wali of Allah? They were insan, he was insan. They were humans, he was human. But they were distressed and he wasn't distressed. And the reason was, this was just one thing, that he, this pious person, he had obtained and sealed this treasure, that how can I reach to the station of Radha bil Qada. We hear this, we know it's the cure, but we don't utilize this solution. We don't implement this solution. Allah Ta'ala has given to us treasures in the Quran and the Hadith, and we don't reach to them, we don't bring them into practice. We become distressed, disappointed. Think this for a while. So why not, brothers, why don't we go towards this solution, that we obtain Radha bil Qada? We obtain this practice, that we don't know how long we're going to live in this life anymore. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, what disasters are going to come in front of us, problems, issues, difficulties, worries. So let's prepare for all of this and live a life of total contentment and relaxation when we are content with what Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And this is a striving and struggle you have to do to attain this station, this feeling, emotion, this maqam. This status you attain by a little bit of effort, bit of struggle. Go towards the struggle, go towards the effort, physical effort of trying to condition your mental brain that you are prepared, that whatever Allah Ta'ala has written in your muqaddar, in your destiny, you will attain that, and don't try to grapple and get more than that. So take hold of the means that with which Allah Ta'ala's mercy will come, and sakina will come, satisfaction will come. There's no need to be distressed. You can't sleep, you're tossing and turning, problems, sleeping tablet, etc. No, Allah Ta'ala has given. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy. This was Allah Ta'ala's decision. This was His selection. This was His desire. And tadabir, I cannot try to go beyond my capacity and means. I will eat medicines and tranquilizers and antidepressants. I'll come back to square one. So, better than this, for my satisfaction, Allah Ta'ala has given us means. Fine. But never consider the asbab, the means, as the solution. Asbab will never solve our issue. The reason for this is so that insan, his yaqeen, his certainty is based on Allah Ta'ala's decision. And we should create the connection with Allah who decides everything. And our connection with our batin, our inner self, our inner state, when we clean our inner state, our heart, our desires, and our inner condition, spiritual condition, our ruh, our spirit, then all the life we live will pass so nicely in the path of ibadah and worship. This is a great ibadah, to be content with Allah Ta'ala's will. For example, you get married. You have a wife. You've acquired a spouse, a partner. And two paths come in front when there's difficulty. One is a person who goes towards divorce, and one is who lives his life with patience and perseveres. So two paths are in front of a person when he faces difficulties. So those people who fear and tremble and shiver when there are problems and difficulties, then people decide and they discuss, and they have a gossip or they have a debate. So those people who tremble and they have argumentation with their spouse, then they say, no, this is my decision, I can't wait any longer, I have no sabr, and you go your way, I go my way, and the divorce occurs. And those people say, no, this was Allah Ta'ala's mashiyat, this was Allah Ta'ala's desire for me, Allah Ta'ala selected this wife for me, or this husband for me, and this present and treasure I will hold close to my chest for the rest of my life, because Allah Ta'ala's decision is based in this. But I will fulfill the rights of this, and I will persevere through the difficulties. I will be patient at times of difficulty. And to fulfill the haqq is not that you're fighting and punching and breaking the teeth, and you're pushing and having bad akhlaq. You're saying, I'm fulfilling the rights. This is not fulfilling the rights. This is not fulfilling the rights. Rather, you should take care so much. You should take care so much that don't oppress. An example comes to my mind. So much you should prefer. So much you should prefer this thinking. Thinking this point, that Allah Ta'ala has given this to me. Allah Ta'ala has given this spouse to me, this partner to me. And all the requirements, I will do khidmat and serve, because Allah Ta'ala will make me close to Him through this spouse and partner of mine, this woman of mine, my wife of mine. So look at the methodology. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Look at the event of his life, that he had the leprosy like disease, and the ants or the insects would be on his skin and eating and devouring his skin and his cells and meat, and they would drop off and he would pick them up, put them back on his skin. He had Raghda bil Qada, that Allah Ta'ala has desired this, selected this, Allah has given me this condition, so I should enjoy and be satisfied. So when he was content with Allah Ta'ala's will and he was content with Allah Ta'ala's desire, then he started to enjoy and feel such beautiful taste of Iman. I'll give you another example. You know, we take injections from the doctor, and how long is the needle? Oh, it's long, it looks dangerous, it pricks your body, it gives pain. People run away when they see needles. And I just look away and say, look, you do what you have to do, I will persevere. When a person who, you know, a doctor is there with a long needle and you're sitting down and he pricks you with a needle when you're a child. And if, for example, you had a needle pricked into your body due to someone being naughty and trying to do silly things, then, you know, when you learn the words when you are a young person, soon as that needle pricks your body, suddenly that swear word will come out of your body, whether you sit in the masjid or wherever you are. I remember the words in the when we were young that people used to say, you can't control yourself. Oh, you've pricked me with a needle. Is this the case, isn't it? So now Hajj time is coming. I'll give you the example. The people run around left, right, looking for the doctor, and they'll come with the needles themselves, with the injection, with the medicines, and they'll beg, here's 30, 40 pounds, please put this needle into me so I can get the injection, the card, so I can get the vaccination. And how have you got the means there? Why are you content then? Why are you happy then? Such a long needle, you're paying, you're greedy, and you're saying, please, please, you're pleading, inject me with this needle, with this medicine, so I can get the vaccination. And another vaccination we get when we don't want it, and we swear and shout and scold and slap. Why have you put this needle into me? So look at the difference. The difference is that the doctor, when he injects you with the injection, with you are happy with his decision. With his decision that you are need this, you need this, you are in requirement of this. You say, okay, doctor, here, take the needle and do what you have to do. Impregnate me with this needle and inject me with this medicine because I'm in requirement of this. In opposition to this, you know that this pain that you are going through, this is the hikmah here. Here's the wisdom of Allah, which is attached to every single difficulty you have in life. So here's the hikmah here. That this needle that you are injecting to me, Allah, what is the hikmah? There's definitely a hikmah. And the hikmah of this is a big thing. That this is Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. That this will give me benefit. This will give me benefit. And through this, my diseases will stop, my difficulties will stop, my problems will stop, and this will give me benefit. This is for my benefit. And through this, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you difficulties and worries, illnesses, and there's my hikmah in this. And alongside my hikmah, the wisdom of your difficulties is the mercy of Allah. So when you persevere through the pain of the injection, it's for this reason. Not that you enjoy it. Rather, that pain at that time, that difficulty, you persevere and you accept it because you see the future benefit of yours. You know that this is the path taking you towards the contentment. So with happiness, you persevere because you know that you will get the solution to your illness and disease through the injection. And this is the same way we should adopt and approach every difficulty in life. Aha. For example, you have problems. You don't go towards the divorce. You say, I'm satisfied and happy with Allah Ta'ala's given. Allah Ta'ala, this difficulty you're giving to me, this will give me the solution. This will give me solution and enjoyment because I know I will get sakina from this and happiness from this, enjoyment of this. This is with your hikmah, and your hikmah and wisdom has rahmah and mercy, and there's nothing for me to be disappointed about. Today, this disaster occurred with me, and tomorrow I will get the result of how much of an advantage this was for me. I cannot challenge you, Allah. You wrote this in your kitab, but my iman, my belief is this, my qidah, that Allah, whatever Ta'ala comes from your preference, there will be rahmah and mercy and wisdom attached to it. There will never be punishment attached to it. And this, if we achieve this station, then tell me the kingdoms will cease, poverty will cease, problems will finish, disputes will finish, crying and shrieking will finish. Every decision, every moment, you will say, Alhamdulillah, job will go. Or for example, he says, okay, that's the end of your contract, run away. Oh, okay, that job's gone, no problem. Alhamdulillah. Oh, I went to work in the morning and he sacked me. Oh, I lost the job for this reason. Oh, I had a lot of resources. I had a lot of work left to do. And today my job is finished. Raghdaq bil qada. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala saved me from a bigger fitna. There was a big fitna of Allah Ta'ala that was going to come. Allah Ta'ala saved me. Okay, let's relax and go for the next resource. So you keep seeking, and you keep seeking for the solution. You don't just sit back and go to sleep, but you seek with Allah Ta'ala's design selection. So this is where the story ends. So the objective of what I was trying to say is that we should seek this. This is a disease that we are not happy and content with what Allah Ta'ala selects and desires in our lives. We become distressed and take tranquilizers, antidepressants. We have bottles of medicines and containers and solutions. But there's only one thing, is that struggle on your batin, your inner state, your soul, your ruh, your inner condition. You should clean it, purify it. When your heart becomes pure, when your heart becomes empty and void of the problems, then you will be happy. We have to make effort. So the asbaq, the prescription that your sheikh gives, remember there are three connections to the sheikh. I'm coming towards tasawwuf. Yes, this is the science of solution to the inner state, to the problems and purification of the heart and the soul. So the solution to being unhappy and dissatisfied with your status quo in life is that seek a sheikh, seek a wali of Allah, seek the spiritual doctor, make him your GP, so he can analyze and scan you internally, and he can identify and diagnose your inner maladies, and he's your GP for life. Then don't change him. Then, yeah, this is out of manners. You know, normal GPs in the world, physicians, we shouldn't change them. 15 years, I've got the same GP. Sometimes he's not good with us, but I don't feel like changing him. Because he's our GP and we stick to him, he's given us benefit. But the ultimate GP, you should consider he's the final GP, the physician, the spiritual physician. That this was Allah, first of all, when you see and meet the Shaykh, you straight away understand and identify and accept, ah, Allah, this is your mashiyat, this is your desire, you've given me the Shaykh. Now you've got hurdles, obstacles, and there will come tests and wasawis of shaitan, whispering of shaitan, don't go to this teacher. But no, you will be saved. You accept, nah, Allah gave me this guide, I don't need any other guide. Shaitan will come, no, he's an innovator, he's a bidati, he's a kafir, he's taking you towards extreme, oh, he's making you practice hard things. You say, nope, dunya is saying this, shaitan is saying this, but Allah Ta'ala said something else. He has selected me for something else. The dunya and shaitan see something else, and Allah knows what's better for me. So Allah Ta'ala has kept everything hidden for me with his hikmah, and I will go towards the benefit of Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. I don't care and give regard towards other people. Say, now come towards the tasawwuf. Understand that point? So this line of the tasawwuf, three connections are emphasized with the Shaykh. For the cleanliness of your batin, I'm teaching you these three principles. If you want to clean your batin in a self, then you will get radha bil qada, acceptance on Allah Ta'ala's design. Your life will become the life of a king. You will embrace every difficulty that Allah, everything is coming from Allah, and this will become your emotion, your condition, your situation, and you will not complain. You will not complain. You will come out of the difficulties. So the biggest first thing is that seek the wali of Allah. Seek his company. Sit with the company of the wali of Allah. Then tests will come. After you make the connection with the Shaykh, you will get tests with the Shaykh. Just like the Sahaba Ikram, the blessed companions, they are tests, trials, tribulations. Shaitan descended. He tried to whisper into their ears and deviate them, take them away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imtihanat, tests, trials, tribulations, problems, difficulties will come after you make a connection with the Shaykh. A big test will come. Shaitan knows that you are struggling in a big, big way. You're making big test, making big struggle, and he wants you to fail. Not just that you go away and you do four tasbihs and then you think you're successful. No, there's a big test. When a person has a teacher, a guide to clean him spiritually, physically inside, then Allah Ta'ala says that the test will come, shaitan will come, nafs will come. And when you pass that test, then Allah Ta'ala will remove the veils and you will seek and attain the ultimate success. Not just you have a shaykh and you put the chadar on your body, on your head, and you have a scarf and you start doing tasbihs, you think you're pious and people look at you, you think you're pious. No. This is not the path of the tasawwuf. You want to clean yourself physically, spiritually, then you make the connection with the teacher, you strive, you struggle spiritually, you do the remembrance of Allah, you have to pass through tests and trials and waswasa of shaitan, whispering of shaitan, people who try to deviate you. Iman every second is in danger, and there are forces opposing your iman and trying to destroy your iman. So they will say, don't go to the teacher, don't go near to him, and he will destroy you. This happened to me myself. Nafs and shaitan tried to attack me and deviate me from the company of my shaykh. But remember one thing, we are happy with radha bil qada, Allah Ta'ala's desire. So the first lesson is that understand and accept mashiyat ilahi. Whatever happens in the world, whatever is given, where is it given from? Whatever success I have, I'm not one who asked for the world. I didn't ask my teacher, oh, give me the guidance so that I can have my business. I didn't have the Shaykh, the teacher, so my business flourishes and I get money and wealth and big accounts for my children. I've got no children, I get children. Allah Ta'ala, I sought a teacher for your pleasure. Allah Ta'ala says, totally fine. I gave you the teacher for my radha pleasure. So don't seek any other success through the teacher. Don't seek the means of the world through the teacher. Attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure through the teacher. So wasabis will come. Whispering of shaitan will come. And people will come to try to divert you, deviate you. The first lesson, Hazrat Nur Allah Marqada, rahmatullahi, I tell you his words, my Shaykh. And the biggest success in this path, to attain success in this path of tasawwuf, what do you need to do? That individual who you spend your whole life with, that teacher, every second, every moment, you have to pass through the tests and the hurdles and obstacles. Then three or four links and connections you must make with the teacher. And this ta'aluk, rapata, this connection with the Shaykh you have, you will succeed. You want Allah Ta'ala's faiz, you want Allah Ta'ala's success, attain his rahmah and mercy on every footstep. Hazrat said, my Shaykh said, if you have this connection in three modes, then every moment Allah Ta'ala's fazl, Allah's mercy, Allah's blessings will shower down upon you every moment if you make three connections with the teacher. What are those three things? First of all, Allah Ta'ala has given you the teacher in the form of the Shaykh, your Ustad. You have to have three connections with the teacher. Number one, i'tiqad. That with the teacher, you should have total i'tiqad with the teacher. Solid, robust i'tiqad. Someone says, oh, he's a zindiq, he's an innovator, he's a bidati, he's this. They criticize your teacher. Give him one answer. Give him one answer from your side. Number one, if he's an innovator and a kafir, then within me, how did the light of sunnah come into my life? How did the dhikr of Allah, the light of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr come into my life? How did I get that pull and attraction to Allah? How did I understand the path of suluk and getting near to Allah? How did Allah Ta'ala's name come into my life and my body and my heart? And this person, this teacher who you are calling an innovator, gave me this. So I have itiqad in my teacher, and your strength, the connection with your teacher will strengthen on every obstacle and hurdle. The connection with your teacher should increase. Remember in the sea, when the boat comes along a wave, the crest of a wave, the boat suddenly rises up. In the same way, the iman of the teacher and the student, the connection between the teacher and the student strengthens, because the student says, I need you, O teacher, I need your guidance. You gave me the light and the way, and you reformed my life. So itiqad number one. A person who has itiqad, has a Bahauddin Naqshband rahmatullahi alayhi said, can concrete your yaqeen. Totally, the more your yaqeen and certainty increases with the teacher, your deen and life will become kamil and perfect. And this is the principle of tasawwuf. The first and foremost hurdle you will get in the boat, in the journey of tasawwuf, is itiqad, the connection, the strength between the connection with your teacher. You will become weak, waswasa, whispering of shaitan and nafs will come, and you will become weak and the connection will weaken. No, strengthen the connection, the aqidah and the belief. The belief, the aqidah in the shaykh. That's step number one. Step number two, connection number two is adab. Manners with the teacher. To have manners with the teacher is a big thing, essential. Manners with the parents is a big thing, essential. But manners with the teacher. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. The Sahaba ikram were taught. Lesson number one, adab. Manners through the Quran. Allah said, don't speak loudly. Your volume of your voice should be low. Don't look at him, stare, glare him in the eyes. Speak with adab. Lower your gaze, etc. They were given the adab of how to conduct themselves physically in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. And they were those individuals who attained the nearness, because the Sahaba Ikram, the blessed companions, were the students, and the Prophet ﷺ was their sheikh. So they had to have adab. Adab doesn't mean you have do shirk, you prostrate the teacher, or you worship the teacher. No, within the boundaries of Sharia. You have to sit with manners, speak with adab, with permission, seek permission before you speak. This is Islamic principles, manners. Speak silently, lower your gaze, seek permission to speak, and don't glare in his eyes when you're sitting with the teacher. Don't pay attention to other things around you. Pay attention and focus on your teacher in his presence, in his company. Finish and alight all other thoughts and the dunya, and ask for Allah Ta'ala for faiz in your heart, and keep doing Allah, Allah, Allah. And ask for Allah Ta'ala for faiz and mercy in your heart through the company of the Shaykh. And don't consider and think about anyone else for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. You're in his company. Apart from Allah, seek nothing else in Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, and then Allah Ta'ala will instill his mercies into your heart. And this is adab, this is manners. And people can't even do this. So people who do tanqeed, who criticize, you see how they're respecting the sheikh. He's standing, they stand behind him, and they're walking behind him, or he's walking and they have respect for him, extreme respect. So those people are trying to detach your itiqad and your connection with your teacher. So immensely, to the extreme, within the boundaries of Sharia, with the elders, with your parents, with the sheikh, with the teachers, with your friends, with the buzurgs, with the walis of Allah, with the people who are older than you, with everybody, you have to implement and demonstrate these manners. And with the sheikh, your teacher, you do it to the highest level, to the highest grade, because he's the greatest personality in your life, who has attached you to Allah. He's made your connection with Allah. He won't demand this, stand in front of me like this, or bow in front of me like this, or pick up my shoes, or when I come, then bow. No. Then consider that person. This is not adab. This is shirk, because the person is demanding this. The teacher is demanding. No sheikh, no teacher who's a true, genuine wali of Allah, he does never desire and expect that the student has adab from him. Never from the heart will he expect the manners from the student. Because he knows that today he's picking up my slippers. I am not capable of this. Tomorrow, how will I answer Allah that my student picked up my slippers for me? And he doesn't want this. He doesn't desire the adab or the service from the students. But he's lost in his connection with Allah, and the student's lost in his connection with his sheikh. As a Tanwir, alhamdulillah, he scolded his student. They used to pick up his slippers and used to say, we want to pick up. Hazrat Tanwi told them the adab, that there are adab manners of picking up the slippers. Are you going to demote me? Are you going to drop me in the eyes of Allah? And I don't want that. I get a push from Allah and that I fall down, that my students are picking up my slippers, etc. So be careful of all these things. And especially that the thing that the teacher doesn't like, have adab for this manners. Don't repeat them. If the sheikh says, don't do this, please, you sit down. No, sheikh, I've got to get up for you. If the sheikh is requesting, don't do these actions, then this is against the adab. Because hukam fawqal adab. Orders are on top of the adab, says Jazakallah. If the sheikh says Jazakallah, but please, I don't want this, don't do this, don't serve me like this, then obey and respect the desires of the teacher. So this is adab. So step number one, connection number one with the teacher is itiqad. Strengthen the certainty and the yaqeen and the belief in your sheikh. Step number two, connection number two with the sheikh is the adab manners. And third is khidmat wa ata'at. Khidmat wa ata'at. So belief in the Shaykh, aqeedah in the Shaykh, adab of the Shaykh, number two. And third is khidmat wa ta'at. Like you have the parents, you serve them, you assist them, you press the feet of your parents or elders, etc. You have adab, you serve the parents, you serve the elders. And I used to be thirsty all my life. People used to come and press the feet of my Shaykh, but couldn't dare that all my life. I pressed the feet of my teacher. I used to cry and sit at the back, but I couldn't dare. I used to have the desire, I wanted to, but I couldn't dare to go forward and do it. And this was called adab. So ata'at, so khidmat is one thing, serve the Shaykh, and ata'at, whatever sabak and tariqah, the method the teacher gives to you, then grab hold of that with steadfastness. The teacher says you have to recite 1,000 tasbih like this, then blindly, without any hesitancy, follow that. When 1,000 comes, then do the next action. As soon as that Shaykh keeps on telling you, as long as he keeps on instructing you, prescribing to you, and as time to time he tells you things, then you should be steadfast and adhere, stick to those practices and prescriptions like super glue. If you can't do 1,000, do 500. If you can't do 500, do 100. But have steadfastness and regularity in what the Shaykh prescribes to you. Don't leave this, and this is called ita'at. You are obeying what the Shaykh has prescribed to you within the boundaries of Sharia and Sunnah. If you have these three things, my Shaykh told me in the maktubat of my Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh said that if you have itiqad, aqeedah and a teacher, you have adab, manners with a teacher, and khidmat, service, and ita'at, obeyance, then Allah Ta'ala's for yous and blessings and mercies will continue to rain down upon you. So when in this tariqah, in this way, an individual, a student strives to clean and purify his batin, then he will ascend the maqams, the stages, that he will get to rada bil qada. He will get to the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala's decision, and he will get to the status of king. He will be the king of the kings, I swear by Allah, he will be independent from the world, the desires of the world. As people of the world say, he's not distressed, he's not displeased, he's not unhappy. He will be happy and content, and everything he will attain the satisfaction, and he will walk totally content in the world. My brothers, these few thoughts came to my mind, and due to this blessed gathering of yours, I've presented them in your service. Do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives me the tawfiq, the will, the courage to put them into my life. And this path Allah Ta'ala has given us, this path, what is this? The path, I revise again, I summarize again, this path is about purifying our batin, our inner state. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Allah Ta'ala says that when you come to me purified internally, then the doors of Jannah will be open for you. You will not be impure, and the person who's got lying, fraud, deceit, cheating, and deception in his heart, and he doesn't wash and bathe him. If you come to me, I say, come to me clean, and you come to me, you haven't washed and bathed, and you smell, then are you clean? Then how will you be clean? Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Those believers who come to me, despite living in the world, and come to me in the hereafter, clean and pure internally, his chest and heart is pure. Because what will not succeed in hereafter is dahir, the external self, external purity. The batini purity will succeed. So if you've washed yourself internally in the world, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. You've come to me pure, then the doors of hereafter paradise will open for you. And this is the struggle we have to make, that our heart internally opens up. And all of the deficiencies and the ghalasate, they are removed. May Allah Ta'ala accept us, this gathering, what we've discussed, and make us reach to this destination. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.